interview with Terry Moran and Navy Mrs. Moran on May 9th, 2001. We're meeting at their home on 730 El Rancho Lane. Talk to our heart's content. So when did you folks come out here? 1949, Homestead, 151. All right, okay. That's quite a few. Let me show you what I've got here. How did you find this place?
They've been down here, and the guys used to live up here. I was in the army with them, and they told me about it.
Oh, is that Bennett?
No.
Oh.
Bennett was up here.
Yeah. And who was the other one?
The other name was Bolin.
Bolin?
Yeah, B-O-W-E, and then he sold it to Jennings, and then Jennings sold it to Cody.
Oh, okay. Let's get this right side up here. Intrigued with this history that it made him think of a lot more, so he wrote some more, and I typed it in, added it in wherever it fit, and I'm sure by now he's probably thought of some more yet. But he was out here pretty early. He, I think, said that he filed for his homestead in 43 when he was in the army. Because, well, you'll get it in there, because Bartlett had gotten some things waived so that you didn't have to,
That's the two guys, John.
Yeah.
They were in the army here.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have to meet as many requirements, so it made it a lot easier.
Well, I do everything the hard way.
Well, somebody else pointed out that it wasn't that easy in 1 year to, build a place to live in and clear ground and do whatever.
You sure?
No thanks, just this way. Now just don't let me forget to take that out here before.
That's how I got started farming this. I had to clear 14 acres and I figured, well, shucks, I ain't gonna let that go back to bush.
Look at here. There you are. This is a 1953 map. School district.
Oh, my goodness.
School district map. I've got a copy of this for you to keep. Here's the Hot Springs Road, which wasn't really in at that time,
no.
I don't think. Were you coming in by Steel Creek?
No, Steel Creek. They came Steel Creek the part from, from the hill over the other side of Gettinger's, this way it wasn't in.
Yeah, right. That's what I understood. They show it on this, but I'm sure it wasn't an all-weather road.
It's what made us lucky. The year before the military moved in out here, we got together and took some collected money and got the road commission to come in and put a road in.
Mm-hmm.
And all they done is they come in and laid a grade. We put together $400. When they spent the $400, they loaded up and took off. They're supposed to match it.
Okay, now this was the Hot Springs Road?
No, that was
Bennett Road. Okay.
Gene Hot Springs wasn't in there.
Yeah.
Well, then the military come in. So they fixed this road up rather than go that way because it's cheaper.
Sure.
And all they done is they just widened it out. Wherever there was a little spot, they took a grader and made a ditch off like that. Mm-hmm. No culverts, no ditch.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best road we had.
Sure.
And you know, when the state took over, well, they had to have ditch and all this fancy stuff, and there went the road.
So I figured that was the order of things. Steel Creek and then Bennett.
And luckily, at that time, that summer it rained and it rained. And every time them guys get stuck with a truck, they just dump a little gravel. And the state just cried hard out here, so here they're putting all this gravel on this road.
All right. Yeah, boy, roads are a big part of the story out here for everybody. Okay, here's the skis going up here, the green, and here's Steel Creek. And here you are. Let's see now. Oh, they show Bennett Road stopping here.
Yeah, that's where the end of it was at that time.
Right.
It was what it was a wood trail.
Yeah, well, a lot of these, most of them were. Yeah. Okay. So I must come across Fabian's property to get into your place?
He lives down toward this end.
Uh-huh.
And we're up in this corner.
Yeah, up in the corner.
This corner.
Okay. Oh, yeah, so you're not very far off the road, actually, which is the way you figured it.
When Bennett left, he was over in here. Originally, he was up in here.
Hmm. Yeah, I have another map that shows homesteads, and at that time, he had that whole 160.
His cabin was up there right next to the fire department.
Oh, okay, sure.
A real old cabin up there. It might even fell down by now.
Yeah, probably.
He enjoyed being in a rustic situation. I mean, all he had to have was a hole big enough to back in.
Someone, Julie Wood, I think, mentioned that she thought maybe he'd been a pilot at one time.
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't know where. Apparently, her kids used to go up and he'd talk to them, tell them stories, so... Maybe that was one of the stories, I don't know.
It might have.
What's his name? Bennett.
Old
man Bennett?
Yeah.
Pilot?
Well, we don't know.
Yeah, he's pretty old, you know. We don't know
we don't know what he was in his younger days.
Real nice old man.
But I've always figured that, he never really said, but I always figured that he was probably in World War I and got disabled. Because he never seemed to have to do much work to get by.
Huh. But he wasn't noticeably disabled? He wasn't crippled up or anything?
No. A lot of times you have something wrong that you can't see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's very possible.
Now, he fiddled around and he raised two potatoes.
But he didn't have to farm to support himself, in other words. Yeah. Did you know this Boris Patrick that Woods, Russ Wood, from?
Uh-huh.
Because he's been mentioned as a kind of a character.
He was. I always figured there was something wrong upstairs. He was a good mechanic, electrician, and all that, and he was working with Grassley Electric.
Uh-huh.
And the damn fool goes out here to raise potatoes. And he's making union wages.
Yeah, that does make you wonder.
But he just got tired of working for other people, and he wanted to be by himself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't understand
that. He was so damn good-natured that everybody out here took advantage of him.
Oh, one of those. Yeah, isn't that the case? Did you ever hear, you would have been here. Supposedly, the community went together and bought some kind of a fire truck at one time, and they kept it at his place. It must have been a surplus, military surplus.
That sounds familiar, but I can't...
Well, Julie didn't mention it, but it just maybe didn't occur to her. Ruth Zozula is the one that remembered that.
Oh, yeah, they lived over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now that you mention that name... That does ring a bell about an old fire truck.
Yeah, this came into one of the stories about Bert Stiffel, some of his practical jokes.
Well, he was.
Yeah. I talked to him the other day on the phone. Yeah. By accident. I didn't know whose number I was calling. I was chasing his book.
Yeah.
And I was given that number as a possible source, so I called it. And who's on the other end but Bert?
Well, he died.
And he sounded just like he always has, going strong, sounds like.
Hey, he was telling me one time, Preacher Fitz lived right next to him over there. He says, I got to get up at midnight to put alcohol in my gas tank, otherwise he says, he'll give me hell.
Yeah, I guess Dr. Fitz was a character in his own right. Oh, geez. So I suppose you knew him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How many years was he around?
Gee.
He must have been there when you came out,
yes,
right?
I think so.
Uh-huh. Because he seemed like every Sunday he's at the door wanted to go to church.
Oh, of course. Of course.
So, and the kids were little, so it was during, you know.
Yeah, and then Bert Stimper moved out there after we were here. He was over on Farmer's Loop.
Oh, yeah.
Frostburg.
Yeah, do you know where that was?
Almost across from Granite Road on the lower
side.
Okay.
But,
there used to be a little red building there, and that's where it was.
Mm-hmm.
Down.
So he was below the road. Oh, yes, no wonder he had trouble. Yeah.
At that time, you know, you could see people getting stung. But nowadays, when people go out in somebody's place and build, you wonder, where in the Sam Hill is their head?
Yes, why don't they have it tested first?
There's a guy come out and pumped our sewer, and he's over there. I don't know, he went around the Farmer's Loop, and there's a whole bunch of goofy stuff hanging off the trees and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And a swamp-like looking area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he went out there and he bought that lot, and he's going to build a house on it. And after he bought it, he found out what he had. He was a little bit up in the trees himself. He was talking about getting some tires and stacking them, building a house on top of tires so it could float.
Yeah, you'd kind of like to know where these people came from. And oh, my. So who was this you said told you about this property? Let's see, where are we?
Fabian, I noticed his name.
Okay, yeah, here's Fabian. Jennings, you mentioned?
That'd be Jennings. That used to be, that's the one that was Bowen's place, the original. He's the one that homesteaded.
Now, he had whose place originally?
Bowen bought this, then Jennings.
Bowen, okay.
Homesteaded, and then Jennings bought it off of him.
Oh, okay.
And then Cody bought it off him. That's the place with all the junk up here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so that's where Cody's are now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Well, the main house, the big house, is sold on a bankruptcy sale. Yeah, I don't know what the guy's name is that bought it.
Oh, so there's somebody else in that now,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And what about Farkas's? When did they come in?
He came out there after we were here, and that was a big fight over. He wanted to come. When I was trying to put a road in here, he didn't want the road to go down Chin Hot Springs. He wanted to end at his property. So the state said, well, he told Fabian, he says, you don't have to give him a place to park. He says, he can drive down here, but he says, if you don't want him to park there, send him out. Because there was no turnaround, no nothing leaving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so finally, he was a real hothead. He finally conceded that they could go down through his road property. And he started telling them where to go. And he wanted to go right out down in the middle of that swamp.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just ignored him and kind of met him halfway. What they should have done is went up on the property line between his place and Loud's.
Right.
And they would have come out right on top of that hill,
yeah,
which would have been an ideal place. Now, and the way it is now, he's got his place was chopped up with a road in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Lee Rissy mentions this when we talked to him, the fact that the road coming across there cut both Farkas and Loud and made these odd-shaped places.
And that wasn't necessary at all. He just gave him permission to go down on the section line. They could have went right down between the
avoided,
and
yeah, it would have been ideal.
And it made a better road.
Yep. Oh, well. You've noticed that a lot of people that ended up out here tend to be sort of independent.
That's a mild way of putting it.
Yeah. You said also about lived on the old Steve's there. She says, the farther you go out Chena Hot Springs Road, the crazier people are. I don't know that she's entirely wrong.
Like when I put these roads in here, I put a stub going over to that side of the hill so that if people ever want to get in there,
mm-hmm,
they'll have access. And there's a guy who lives right in the corner, and he could have used it. Well, he did. And the Stutzman engineering guy said, well, what do you want to do that for? He said, that's going to cost you money. I didn't have to put the road in, but I had the survey. Well, it cost probably $900 by the time I got that survey run in there. But my point was, if you're going to lay a place out properly, and there's going to have to be a road in there sooner or later, don't make a big mess out of it for the next guy to figure out.
Exactly, yeah.
So now here they're sitting. Here's the guy that's got this piece of ground, and he ain't doing nothing with it. And here's a little narrow strip, 330 feet wide, going up the hill. and he don't have access. And here's 40 acres that Axtell sold to somebody, and he's an island. There's no way to get into Dorado.
Oh, yeah, this is...
That's why you have to have regulations.
Yeah. So where on this map did that road go that you laid out?
It would be... Let's see.
You can mark it in there. We're marking everything on this. Here's your property.
That's that road that swings down. Let's see. Where's that property here? It comes in... It comes in someplace down in here, and it's that road that goes down across.
Oh, okay. Fabian's
and then down in the far corner here. I see that would be...
It's kind of hard to know.
This corner, I guess. The road goes in and around here, and I just put a spur up into this piece of property here.
I see. Okay.
And then this guy here is isolated. Here's that little narrow strip you can barely see.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can figure out how comes this. Somebody sold 330 feet all the way up that hill.
On this side of where Rainier's were?
Yeah. No, on this side here. Rainier's on the other side of the hill. It would be up in this corner.
Up in there,
here.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got a later map that I showed some of that. I'm not sure just what it
is. Yeah. Is it something you could make a copy of?
I'll look and see. I got
it's real interesting to get these maps that show, different properties at different times. Oops. Any other neighbors there that you remember? The Shermans. There's a Harry Sherman and a C.A. Sherman. I'm trying to think of...
The name sounds familiar.
What was the name of the Sherman that was the manager of the fair
Sherman
for a while?
Oh,
Clyde?
Yes.
I wonder if C.A. Sherman could have been Clyde.
Could be. Terry might know.
And here's Jane Reno, who became Jane Bushy. Apparently her name was Reno in 1953, and her mother, Ruby Rasmussen, became Ruby Poloff later on. So apparently this is what... Well, you saw Marvin Bushy's obituary here just lately?
Yes, I did.
No mention of Jane in that, which was kind of interesting. I think we all wondered about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's quite a map.
A copy of this there was left in our house when we moved in out there years ago, and we managed to save it all these years and took it in, and it copied very nicely, so we made a lot of copies. Mm-hmm. And it's always of a lot of interest to everyone as to where people were. Where is Dick Loud located?
Dick Loud.
From you?
Let's see, where is Dick?
Well, here's the Loud's
Bennett Road
property I had my eye on a minute ago.
That's where they were.
Well, don't worry about it. If it shows up later and it looks like anything that would add to this, it'd be interesting. Here's Les Loud here. But right now, where is Dick's house? As I go back up the road, he's how far down?
Let's see, where's Chena Hot Springs Road? I'm at Bennett Road.
Here's Bennett coming down here.
Okay.
Loud is here.
Right in there.
Fabian's house is right about the end of that road.
Okay.
That's where the road used to end, right by that cabin.
Yeah, Loud is right across.
Over in here.
In that area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I notice...
George Fabian. They got this whole property, George Fabian. I believe it's Charles Fabian. But George does live there, so...
Oh, yeah, this says Charles Fabian.
Oh, okay, I did hear. All right.
Mm-hmm. And George Farkas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just think all old timers.
By putting the notes where they did here, they just chopped that place off.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And not that it made a heck of a lot of difference. Most of where the road is no good anyway.
Well, that's what Lee was saying, was they had a lot of trouble with that because it was low right in there. Yeah.
In fact, at one time, if it hadn't been for this big hill, he was going to come up through this place.
Yeah.
A half mile this side.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't have had such a bad bottom to go through.
Right. Same thing happened out. See, they show out here at 7 Mile. they showed it, the road going right up over the hill, that big hill out there, which it didn't. It actually came down all around in here. So these maps aren't always 100% correct.
You couldn't find the big map on the hill.
We were up on top of that.
Oh, what are you?
I'm trying to see how much this showed.
Where'd you folks come from?
What?
Where did you come from?
Montana.
Montana? What part?
Near Great Falls, Conrad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my brother's family lives there, Great Falls.
Yeah.
Yeah, much later, though. So you came up with the military?
Yeah.
A lot of people did.
Yeah, the old guy that owned Tip-Top that I sort of knew about. Some of the half acre, I saw Christian Park, where that place is now. I laughed. I said, "What the hell did I want that for?" He said, "Don't worry." He says, "You'll be back about 6 months." I got all the armies right when everybody went on strike.
Oh, yeah.
One unit right after the
other.
And I said, "Well, this is enough of this crap." I ordered our stuff up and said, "Come back up here. At least you can do things here. We're out there. Well, now you're restricted here just like you are."
Oh, outside. Yeah.
You could, at that time, if you wanted to work, you could find something to do. If nothing else, you could go out and cut wood.
Mm-hmm.
I know they got to have a BLM come along and put a ribbon on the tree before you can cut it.
Yep, how true that was.
And same thing like moose hunting. We got a moose every year.
Mm-hmm.
I was working for the railroad, and I'd take my lead and use it to get a moose.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd take the whole family and
mm-hmm.
make a...
Like a vacation?
At the same time.
Sure.
In fact, the first few times, and after that I started getting right here, I started raising hay,
mm-hmm.
old hay for Howard. When the moose come through, we had as high as 14 come through at one time.
Oh yeah, I can believe it. Be a natural spot for them.
Well, they had a ritual. They come through this valley, and they go over to Wood's place, bring up the potatoes that he throwed out, put on Dillinger's. 5 days later, they're right back through here.
Right.
I mean, in fact, that's how I got a bull one fall.
Mm-hmm.
They came, and I said, "Well, by the cow, they're going to go back here the day the season opens." The day of the season. I got here, they were down there in the field.
Pretty handy.
The only trouble was they'd get in the field, and Howard would have a trail for getting hay out, and they'd chase him out.
Ooh.
He had to wait till I got there.
Right, yeah. When did Howard's come in?
That must have been in the, probably the late 60s, or middle 60s, somewhere.
Yeah, I guess I don't remember when they weren't there, but I was under the impression they hadn't been there as long as some. Because we came out in 58. But I wasn't really that aware of what was going on around. We were too busy moving and whatnot. You mentioned raising oats. Did you raise potatoes at one time, too, like everyone else?
I got the money to live in a little... This part of the house was up on the hill here. That's where we lived, in a little cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And took the money and bought machinery and raised potatoes so I could get the money to build a house. It ain't going to make you no money.
That's right.
In fact, while we were for 20 years, I figured you'd probably have to go 250, 300 feet where everybody else is talking. Finally, I put a well in, and I had to go 124 feet.
Oh, good heavens.
Got excellent water.
And good water. Boy, you were lucky. That doesn't happen.
And boy down here, he got bad water. Fabian Lane is a dividing line. This side of the road, good water. The other side, bad water.
Oh, that's interesting.
And over on the other side of the hill over there, there's one or two of them got good water, and the rest of them are real bad.
Doesn't make any sense, does it? It doesn't seem to,
well,
anyway.
If you kind of watch the tree lines, wherever there's spruce, you're pretty much apt to get bad water.
Is that right?
That's the way it was here.
Huh.
But there is buku water in this valley. He couldn't pump as high as he wanted to.
Well, yeah, that's true of a lot of them, really.
Like up here, Audrey's place, that's the one right before you come in here, the guy put her well down, and she told him to go down another 10 feet. And he didn't want to. He said there's another vein of water down there, and he didn't want to hit it. Because
mm-hmm.
she had a good vein. It come up with him 50 foot at the top. So he hit it. Still good water, both of them. So they put a 3-inch pump in, trying to see how much water there was. And he just had it down, hitting the water. Never phased it.
Hmm.
That's how much water was in there.
Huh.
Good water pump.
Yeah. This is Audrey, you say?
Audrey, Fielder.
Fielder. I don't know whether they're on this map or not.
I seen the name on there.
Oh, you did. Okay. Yeah, John Fielder?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, it's this little, looks like about a 5-acre piece? Oh, okay.
5 acres in the corner. She's related to Fabian's.
Uh-huh. So they split off that little piece, huh?
Now, this map don't show enough that would be meaningful.
Well, if you ever run into the other one, I'd be interested in knowing, you know, because the land ownership changes so fast that no one map shows.
I got someplace I got another map that shows all the roads I put in, plus that one over there.
Yeah, right.
But it don't show any of the other subdivisions.
Mm-hmm.
The big one that I had, it gives some of the others where we're tied into them.
Well, that would be interesting, but that's something for the future, maybe.
I can't picture what I've done with that map.
Oh, well.
If I loan with somebody?
No. Oh, yes.
I think it's in a closet somewhere.
like our closet? Yeah, I know. Charles Kivlin, did you know the Kivlins?
Yeah. He used to be a police officer in town.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, our kids went to school together, but I don't think I ever met him to know him when I saw him.
If you've seen him, you feel sorry for him for being a police officer. I mean, he looked like he was almost 1 foot in the grave.
Huh.
Skinny and frail looking.
Yeah.
Tougher than a whale bone.
That's interesting. Was he another GI that stayed here, or do you have any idea?
I don't think so. He could have been, but he was quite a bit older than we were.
Hmm.
He's probably 15 years. I doubt it, because he's probably 15 years old.
Yeah. I wonder when... I'm going to find that out. I can go to BLM, I find, and figure out when people homesteaded. And that tells you something. It gives you a date, you know, an idea. Because old Carl Lindstrand, we live, was out here in 39. And apparently helped survey a lot of those homesteads. See, he's clear over here. Here's Nordale Road, comes down about here. Here's where Henry Rockman was. And Nordale Road comes down across here. And here's Carl Lindstrand on 340s on the south side of the road and one on the north.
The Holmes place, that's the one that Gettinger's got now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, he must have bought this Fitz property up here.
I thought Bert bought that.
Well, Holmes is up
on the...
He's got a subdivision up here somewhere.
You're right. That's where all those houses are. It's up above the road.
That's right. It's up above this.
So maybe he did.
This would be about where... I can't tell. This must be the road that Holmes used to come down on.
It makes sense,
Creek,
perhaps.
Before this road.
Mm-hmm, right between.
And,
let's see. It says K. Stemple. Now, Mrs. Stemple's name was Leah, wasn't it? I wonder where they got the K. Could just be a mistake. There are some on there, right?
I'm trying to think of this would be somewhere in here where woods are now, isn't it?
Woods are up here. You see, here's Boris Patrick across here. So let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
160. And then they bought some from Bert, I think, later on.
I didn't realize this property went all the way over there.
Yeah, apparently so.
Well, some of these guys, like this one here, probably is divided up. This is probably sold separate.
Could be. Jennings.
Mm-hmm. There's so many of them that's when they're selling, they sell off half.
Sure.
And then that guy sells half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's already happened on some of these, like Bennett here, you see. He had a whole 160.
Yeah.
But here it shows Sherman as having half of it, so. Yeah.
And then I think... Let's see. This 40 acres here is the one that's isolated.
Oh, up that half of what's Sherman's? This right here? Okay. Sure could be very
good. Howard Axel bought this whole piece, and then he sold the bottom half. And then Bennett used to be up here, right about in here somewhere, mm-hmm. where the fire station is.
Yeah.
No, I guess it'd be back on this side, in here.
I think the old tumble-down buildings are still there.
That's close enough to the
log cabin.
It's right next to the
fire station.
On the far side.
Huh. That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah. You know, that fire station was humorous when they put that in there. It's illegal to all get out.
How's that?
You try to do it and see how far you go.
Yeah.
They didn't have enough land on this side of the road. And the property that they bought, it stands on the other side, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So to make it legal, they included that with it.
Oh.
Now, supposing that it was on Bennett Road here, and you had an acre on this side and an acre on that side, neither one is legal to build on. So they said, well, let's just include both of them.
Mm-hmm. No way. Well, it helps when you know the right people, I guess, or are the right people in some cases.
Well, they've done the same thing when they tried to put a fire department in here. They tried and they tried and they tried. And they finally figured out by all the voting and who's for and who's against, they put little jugs to get
the
street
man, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So do you got one? Do you have a fire district here?
No.
Well, of course you would have, I guess, yeah.
I wasn't in favor of it the way they done it. But I and a whole group of people around here said, if you want to keep people from burning their damn houses down, have a fire marshal, or whatever you want to call him, go out and inspect these houses and wake some of these people up.
Mm-hmm.
Your chimney ain't safe. Where in the hell is your fire extinguisher? Where is your fire alarms?
Yeah, I don't know. People would resent that, can't you?
Oh, man.
Can't you hear the screams? Yeah,
well, the point is, you prevent fires. You don't wait.
That's right.
Well, go ahead and have a fire. We'll put it out.
Yeah, we are impressed with the fire department over there on Badger, because they came over and talked to us. We now are in that district.
Yeah.
And that's their whole thing. They come out and install fire smoke alarms for you free of charge. They'll clean your chimneys if you've got a wood stove.
Jeez.
And they say that's the point of the whole thing, is to not let the fire get started in the first place.
Oh, here it's the whole piece of this one. Yeah.
There or not.
Did your kids ride the hurting bus?
Oh, you bet.
Yeah.
Our kids had to walk up the top of the hill here, and that guy was never a minute early, never a minute late.
Carl was very punctual, yeah.
I had Charlie Ward the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the most...
Yeah.
These guys now, they've got it down, this kid down here, and that bus is there within 1 or 2 minutes.
Yep. They have to be, especially when it's cold.
They weren't when they first took over.
Well, no, they had to learn. How far is it up to Steel Creek from here?
About a little over half a mile.
Yeah. Well, our kids used to walk out to Tina Hot Springs Road.
Yeah.
And that was almost a mile.
Yeah.
Of course, if they were lucky, they got to ride out with their dad when he went to work. But
I went to work at the wrong time, so the kids had to walk up the hill.
Yeah. What were you working at?
I worked for railroad.
Oh. That's how you supported your farm.
Can I share it with you?
Well, not really. The wages were so bad there at that time that you had to have a part-time job to get by.
Well, yeah. How many people are farming now that aren't supporting their farm some way?
Yeah.
Lee Rissy is one of the few that's probably working. He had to retire to do it.
Yeah. But he got into something where you can expand.
Well, and you're not dependent entirely on the weather.
No.
Yeah, that's a different deal. So how long did you folks raise potatoes?
8 or 10 years, I guess. Okay. And what happened, I was doing real good. I was working 4 to 12, or a release shift, either one. And I put an ad in the paper, and I was selling $100 pounds to the individual all over town. And I had it up to about 80 ton a year. These guys got ring right in the potatoes that they're selling at the base, and the base turned down. They run to town, they're selling for $3 a hundred, and these damn fool people figure, hey, that's a good buy. 30 days later, the sack, whoosh, and the water running out of the bottom of it. I'm getting phone calls. Are you that SOB the fool that's on potatoes? And it ruined the market. They just cut it off.
just in time.
You're at the end of the road here, and you can't fool the public.
That's right. It comes back on you if you try it.
So I clear, in the meantime, I was clearing all that anyway, and then I went into this starting dairy business was starting in there pretty good. Mm-hmm. And so I cleared the land, I was going to raise barley. In fact, I even thought about going into a dairy myself. In the meantime, Matt Muska was in there, and about the time they had a bunch of cows ready to produce, they pulled the plug and closed the clam.
Yeah. Carnation started bringing in milk about then, didn't they?
Well, he was in here before, even then.
Yeah.
But the point is, local milk is just like these guys in Delta. They're putting out premium milk, and they can't keep up.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's a shame.
Like the milk that's shipped in there comes in bulk in the Anchorage, and then they repasteurize it, as they call it. And to me, that's about as illegal as you can get. It started out, they done it so the military could get it in here.
You're right.
Well, the next thing you know, don't let them get your foot in the door because it's going to be 2 feet before you know it.
Yep.
Same thing with this rural consolidation thing.
Mm-hmm.
They've already showed their true colors. They started out, they're going to have a borough city consolidation, and it wasn't going to be no big time self rule and all that, second class. All of a sudden, before they got their petitions, and I see in the paper, they decided, well, let's just make it a second class or a home rule charter city, see as Fairbanks is.
Hmm.
Now, when they get that in, can you imagine what these volunteer fire departments are going to be doing? They'll be paid wages, and the next thing they'll have a union. They'll have police running all over Hell's 40 acres.
Yeah, I expect you're right. Oh, yes, it's hard to know how to make everything work. Indeedy. You see this Carl Wilson here? Do you suppose this is the same Carl Wilson that had Chena Hot Springs?
No.
You knew him?
I didn't know him personally, but he was the same guy.
Did he ever do anything with that property? That must be, right at the top of the hill there, isn't it?
See,
here's Rainier, where the Rainbow Valley Ranch was. Mm-hmm. Here's the Hot Springs Road. That's about where the school is now, I would think.
Oh, yeah, Carl Wilson, that's right. The school's up in here.
Mm-hmm.
He never did do anything. Hageman got a hold of that property.
Okay, Hageman here has just looks like a 40, or maybe more. It's hard to tell.
And then when he sold out,
so Hageman bought that.
Here.
Interesting. Did you know this Mutchler that owned that?
No. I know Mutchler, but I'm not sure it's the same guy.
David apparently is the first name. He's got both of those 160s there.
That would be about where Rainbow.
Well, here's Rainier. This would be Rainbow Valley. This is Curry's Corner.
Yeah.
Down in here.
Well, this is that credit court then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be about right.
And then there's a bunch of houses built up in here.
Mm-hmm.
They all got bad water.
Oh, is that right?
Now, the ones that are getting up on the hill might not.
Did you know Ed Kosolik that lived down there on the...
I didn't know him personally, but...
Yeah. They were there for...
Yeah.
They came in later, I guess. I'm not just sure when. That used to be, for a while, was our closest telephone. We had to drive almost 6 miles to use the phone, you know.
Yeah, they put the power line in here. And the name just went right over my head now. The guy who was in charge of Golden Valley at that time.
Bert Sharpe?
No, not Bert Sharpe. Oh, boy. What's his name? He might be
He's on the map somewhere.
Oh. He lives up
there. He's over on Granac Road.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's over. Let's see where we are here. First, got to find Farmers Lou Pierce, Ernie Gilbert. Geez, I bet they don't show Granite on this.
Oh, Albert.
So he up in this general area.
Steve Hunter.
see.
Oh, okay, here he is. I happen to be looking at it right there.
Uh-huh. Anyway, he was the chief bottle washer, secretary, and everything for Golden Valley at that time, the only guy. And so I went down to see about getting power. And well, bring a truck down there, and he said, I'll give you a pole, and the guy wires, you put it in, and he said, I'll come out in the evening and hook you up.
I'll be darned.
That's the way you got your power. If you didn't want to put the pole in, you were just S-O-L.
Well, I'd never heard that before.
Well, he was the only guy, I mean, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, he had another job.
It was just a part-time job.
Yeah, a part-time job. Well, they were in the process of just putting everything in.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't many, probably not too many people even hooked up at that time.
Well, I don't know when Golden Valley got started. That was that a, after the war?
Yeah, quite a bit after. Because we came out here, let's see, 49, 50, 51. They probably come in about 53.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Because we were using lamps for the first couple of years.
Right.
Did not know about what it was, yeah.
Yeah, I know Mattie Herning mentioned the fact that when she married Carl, which was, I think, 52 or so, that he still just had a... Oh, before long he had one light bulb.
Yeah.
And he could plug in his refrigerator.
Yeah.
But, he started out without it, I know.
But that's the whole point up here. You could do things like that. Now, if you was in Washington or Oregon, the way all these places outside, you got to have a license almost to go to the bathroom.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our daughter moved into... The Tri-Cities area. And she's telling about some of the things. If you want to nail a board on the house, get a permit. And then don't come cheap.
Well, that's what happens when you get more people around. The more people there are, the more regulations come along with them, it seems like.
Well, the more people you get, the more hopeless people you got.
Well, that's part of the problem, isn't it?
Like, most of the people, like when we were up here, first come up here, are... people that are able to be kind of a jack of all trades. You really don't know a heck of a lot about anything, but you can get by with everything.
Run along. Yeah, sure is true. You didn't move out a place like this if you didn't.
No.
You couldn't do those things.
That's what's getting wrong with the whole society today. They got to go to the supermarket, it's got to be packaged up in a little package and either half cooked or wholly cooked. And if anything goes wrong, I don't know what to do.
Well, you know, that's what's going to happen with some of these stories. I've got grandkids around here that just barely know that milk comes out of a cow, not out of a carton.
We were just talking about that yesterday. They show that cow that drinking Hershey's chocolate milk, and they get chocolate milk out of it.
Yeah.
So that'd be the kids, and they'll probably figure that's the truth.
Yeah, they'll believe it. Yeah, my kids ask questions about, well, I'm... Where did somebody live then, when they were little, you know, or when they were in school or something? So that's what got a lot of this started. That and the fact that I have a neighbor that's only been here 20 years, and she's got a lot of questions. And Colleen Herning, Don's oldest, has been interested and has been in on some of these interviews, because for her, it's family history. You know,
right.
And,
Well, that's like her dad was a cook at Miller House. That's about 100 some miles up the street.
Yeah, uh-huh.
He's called a jury duty. Hoof it. You tell them that today and they'll literally call you a liar. They don't
believe
such
it.
A thing is possible. Not a weak bitch because it takes so long to drive up there.
So did you grew up in this country and were born here?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what was your family's name?
Carol.
Carol.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, that's interesting. My dad's
from Aiken, Minnesota.
Where in Minnesota?
Aiken. Uh-huh.
Hmm. And what brought him up here?
Gold rush.
Yeah, that's
the gold rush. Oh. Yeah.
And your mother came along, huh?
No, she was born up here.
Oh, she was?
Yeah.
Okay, so what was her name then?
What is it?
Martin.
Yeah.
Martin.
Almost forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and her dad came up. No rush, I imagine.
Most likely, or to sell to people that were up here or something. There were plenty of things to do besides looking for gold and not finding it. Huh, so you're a native in the true sense of the word.
Her dad was talking about
how, like, they didn't have outboard motors or anything. You had to put a rope on the boat. One guy pulls the boat away from the bank, the other guy pulls it up the river. I can't even imagine the pain and suffering of trying to do something like that.
Well, and look at where these old-timers walked from Circle down here,
right,
for instance.
Yeah.
Can you imagine any of it? Well, there are a few nuts around that are so these extreme...
Here to the mailbox.
Yeah, right.
Well, my mom and dad were in a store business.
Uh-huh.
For years and years. I left home when I was 20. Been here ever since.
Left home?
I was born in Fort Yukon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So they...
Store, yeah. See from that.
NC? AC? Wasn't it?
No, James A. Carroll.
Oh, so it was in competition with Alaska,
right.
Or Northern Commercial, whatever it was.
Or Alaska Commercial or something like that. Yeah.
I think it was Northern Commercial. I think it was AC.
Yeah.
After, what they
call it? Northern Commercial, by golly. I don't know, there were four stores.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Fort Yukon must have been a little bit bigger in those days.
You know, I went up there about 5 years ago. I don't know the place.
Yeah.
Everything's so different. They had two schools, they had a hospital. Real nice place when I was a kid.
I think.
Good place to be from now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that happens with a lot.
Well, like, the fur business is gone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sure.
And after that, that was big fur country up there.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Golly, we even had a movie theater.
Hmm. Yeah. You ought to write some of these things down. You have children, you said. Are any of them in town?
Oh, one lives
right
down
here.
Which one's that?
Boy. Terry.
Another Terry?
No.
Junior?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got two girls, a boy.
What ages? Did they go to school along with mine, or a little earlier?
Let's see. Christopher's 10. Tara's going to be 16.
Now, these are grandkids.
Uh-huh. Well,
she's
yeah, I'm talking about your children.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Terry was born in 46. So
he would have been ahead of mine out of high school before mine got in. About 40. Yeah, Tom was born in 51. So are there younger ones?
And the girl is older than the boy. She's, gosh, I can't remember. Time's probably so much.
It sounds like that. They were probably...
She was born in 43.
So, well, I didn't remember my kids mentioning any Morans on the bus, so they would have been ahead of mine.
Yeah.
Because that's how you kept up with the neighborhood gossip, was with the kids that come over the bus. We didn't always call it gossip, but especially before we got phones. So when did you get phones in here? About 60?
Probably in the 60s.
Yeah.
Somewhere around
63.
There's so many people on the line.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and that was on a different... You were on municipal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're on North Pole.
Right.
But it was the same situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, all these different rings and...
Yeah. Remember the time you tried to sell a car?
Yeah. I had a pickup I was selling, and somebody called one of the neighbor's kids up there, cut in, and he says, "That pickup ain't worth a damn." He said, "You know what?"
I hope you figured out how to get him off the line.
And another guy down here, the old man Loud, used to call his kid to get him up in the morning on the phone. He lived in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting off work at midnight, and I don't appreciate getting woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I figured, well, fair game. I come home, I pick up the phone, I call him. It didn't take very long, it stopped.
Well, we had the same situation, too, with a kid that was babysitting or house sitting at a neighbor's place, and his mother was calling at 6 o'clock in the morning to get him up, and of course we were hearing every ring. I said, "Told her, we're hearing this ring every morning. Would you mind figuring out how to get him to wake up?" Oh, no, she couldn't understand why that would bother anyone at all. I think we finally had to give up, and he went home after a while. But, oh, boy.
That's like our boy. Before he went in the Army, you couldn't get him out of bed. I mean, man, it was a job. He went in the Army, and he came home on leave. And I went in, and I poked him to get him up, and I'm telling you, he was sitting on that bed and had his shoes on.
Yeah, the Army does that for you.
I think that the best thing that can happen, 99% of the kids, is to have a two-year hitch in the Army.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Helps them grow up a little bit.
Yeah, Terry's a service manager in a... What the hell?
Sort of been a shop for him, Terry Taylor.
Yeah,
Terry
Taylor.
Oh.
Did a good job.
Is he a mechanic by trade? Is this?
Yeah.
Oh, you never have too many good mechanics around, that's for sure.
Well, he's a good one.
Yeah, he is.
He does jobs where everybody in town turns him down.
Yeah.
And that's what he likes.
Does he like the service part of it, the office work, or would he rather be mechanicking?
He likes the way he's got it because he's it.
Yeah, I did.
There's the door. You guys, management, stay out of here.
Oh, okay. Well, he
run his own business here for a while. He was working for Craig Taylor, and they give him a slight shafting, and he just said, well, stuff it. He lowered his tools up and went and did it for himself. And in the meantime, they hired a couple of guys in there that I could have probably done as good a job as they were doing. The paperwork is all fouled up. Jobs is all coming back haywire. So they were looking for a new manager, and they kept coming over trying to get him, and all the wheels from Anchor from the States was coming up, the big boss himself. So he came in there, and this guy started telling him about how it was going to run. Well, he said, I guess I might as well pick up my cap and leave. He says, that ain't the way it's going to be. He says, I'm going to be in charge of that shop. He says, I'm going to be in charge of it. Or he says, I'm gone. And he's made more money for him this winter. It's the first time they've had the shop busy all winter.
Mm. Well,
you don't screw the public.
No, but a lot of people don't learn that very darn fast. That's
an example like what they tried to pull on a guy. He bought a new engine for a tractor. He's going to install it himself. The engine's probably $9,000 or something. They put a $300 environmental cleanup charge on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't even take it out of the crate. So he told me to take that engine and stick it. He went and bought one in the States and had it shipped in to save money. Environmental cleanup is a few rags that the absorbent pads that they put around to clean up.
Mm-hmm.
If there's oil, they have to get rid of it. They got an oil burning stove in there that burns all of the used motor oil. Mm-hmm. So that ain't in fact, they're making money off of it.
Yeah. Because
it's heating the place. But they all got to have that little gimmick to get
Good out of it. That seems to be the case. Seems to be.
And these car dealers are about the same way. I think they're starting to hurt a little bit. There's getting to be too many used.
Well, who else is on here that you knew? What about this Philip McCann below the...
Don't ring a bell at
all. He maybe wasn't around too long. You notice Kivlin has a second piece down here this time.
I didn't know that.
Another, he must have homesteaded twice or bought somebody else's. Because there were... I guess you could do it twice. I don't know. I don't know as much as would be nice about the rules and regulations. John Home. Well, here's the gun site. Hello.
Now, Gettinger had this, and I say this piece here is what Ernie Plunkett. He bought this little piece down in here just below his gun site. And there was 40 acres, I think, that belonged to the rural back in here. And Gettinger made a deal, I think he made a deal anyway, swapping some land to get that 40 acres. And there was a deal where this, at one time, was talking about putting that school, this school over here, up here.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been an ideal place for
it. Yes, that sure was.
Right down where it went. Mm-hmm. But guess who owned that property? A bunch of big people in town. Politics.
And they didn't want to sell to the borough, huh?
Well, Gettinger was going to do with a horse trade.
Yeah.
Because he wanted this other piece of ground down here.
Mm.
That's the story that I got.
Yeah.
And They got that, that would be, you know, over on top of that hill, they got in here with that big dish of something.
Right.
That would be where the school would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been a wonderful location.
You couldn't see it.
Sure would have, right on the road and everything. Oh, well.
Where's Gettinger's place?
Gettinger's?
Oh.
Oh, yeah, right here.
Sure.
And, you know anything about, or remember anything about Maranatha Children's Home?
No, that's where,
Johnson?
Yeah, there's R.S. Johnson next, and I assume he was the,
he was involved.
Right,
He was a real nice guy. And then they sold, and a political guy bought it.
Bryce.
Bryce's.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess, Lynn Funk. Johnson was a minister, is that right?
Now that, they had that children's home, then there was another one.
Yeah, it would have been right down here. See, here's, or right in here, actually. Because here's where
right
Steel Creek comes out. So it was right across from that. Yeah, Pentecostal was what that one was. And I have no idea who started that. Do you know any names in connection with that? Speaking of contrary old guys, Harry Denton, did you know anything about him?
No.
Apparently he fought the road there, didn't want people using the road, and didn't want the state.
Well, you've got to have one of them in the neighborhood, otherwise.
Oh, yeah. Well, they make for good stories.
Well, some old guy that I knew that was back up in here somewhere, I can't remember what his name was.
Well, this is Esro Road going in here. Gambles were clear up in here, and they built the road, of course.
He was farther out.
Farther out. Frank Fassler?
I think that was
he
the
was
right
the
there.
Hunchback. Swiss.
Yeah, he had an Oliver Katz, the same as what I had.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that, because Oliver Katz were kind of popular there.
Well, they were reasonable priced, and Harding got them in here, and...
Mm-hmm. So that's when Harold and George Lyle had the agency.
I don't know Lyle was in. I know Harold had it.
Well, I understood that George was. I don't know whether it was a short term.
Maybe it was kind of like a silent partner or something.
Could be. George was his brother-in-law, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the guy I was trying to think of his name the other day.
George Lyle. Yeah, I'm supposed to be talking to George. He's been out of the...
Trying to run that buy-sell farm machinery, it wasn't getting enough out. They have to have just like Craig Taylor now. They've got the farm machinery line, but they've also got a whole bunch of other stuff that keeps it going.
Mm-hmm. Yep, all the maintenance and...
Well, I mean, like, they handle Japanese-made backhoes.
Oh, yeah.
They've got bobcat
equipment.
And all that kind of stuff. Well, the John Deere Green Line, which agriculture, just ain't enough to run
business. No, not in this country particularly, it wouldn't be. Yeah, we had a little Oliver, it came with the place.
I had a little C3, and I run that to death, and then I got a bigger one. And then when I wanted to get a wheel tractor, I bought them from the Farm Home Administration.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy, you got to sell that to get this. And I didn't want to really sell it, but when they got their thumb on you, you got to...
So how many acres of hay did you grow?
I had probably 80 acres would have bought it, just about.
And that was oats eventually?
Well, I started out with oats and then I went into growing hay.
Oh, That seems to be what everyone...
The fertilizer... And the old seed just got so damn expensive. And Howard was buying the whole field.
He didn't want
the price raised, so I told him, well, and then when I bought the baler and everything, he wanted me to put part of it in oats yet. Well, I'm not keeping two lines of machinery.
Oh, well.
And like Louisiana potatoes, you have good dry falls. I mean, none of this junk we got now.
Really?
In fact, Charlie Ward came over one time in the last of October and cut hay, or cut, I had a small patch of oats, right, and there wasn't a drop of snow, never had any snow.
They're one of those rare years, all right.
Yeah. That one we you first start raising grass here, you could get two cuttings.
Jeez, imagine that.
Finally, I just quit it. Just go for one because you're going to get rained out of here. You guaranteed it rain the first week of July, and you knew it was going to rain in September.
You knew it was going to rain whenever Henry cuts his hay.
That's what everybody said. They told me, they said, watch Henry, and if he's cutting hay,
that's right.
Hang your machinery up.
We all know it.
Oh, gosh. Ann Cleaver has her name on this property.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about where the Bentley Mall is. Oh, what?
Creamers?
Ann Creamer?
Oh, yeah.
She's a nice old
woman. Oh, no, here's Bentley over here. Yeah, this is where the farm is.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You knew her?
Uh-huh. When we lived in town, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She used to drop by. She's related to the, what do you call it? Strokers.
Yeah.
And we used to live around the corner. You know what? She'd come over and bring ice cream and milk.
Oh,
and,
boy.
You know? She was so
treat.
Nice. I met her a couple of months before. We used to go out to her place. Real nice lady.
So when you left home from Fort Yukon, you came into Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
You had a job, or?
Oh, I wrote to the employment office first before I came over to make sure. Oh, they said, oh, yeah, there's all kinds of jobs. So I came over with my brother and that brother and his family. And first thing I did, went down to the employment office and I got a job. Let's see. I think it was babysitting. What in the world is that Fish and Wildlife name? Kelly, that duck killed.
White.
Oh, no.
Well, Sam White, no, he didn't,
no,
he didn't get Sam killed. White. He
no,
died, but I'll be.
No, this one got killed in the airplane.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're saying. I can't think of the name, though.
I can't either. Anyway, I babysat them. And that's where I met Harold Herning. He was with a games warden.
Yeah, I knew he was for a while.
Uh huh. And you know my dad, you know.
Sure.
And anyway, every time a good job came up, the employment office would call me.
Uh-huh.
You know, oh, I got a better job for you.
Right, great.
Yeah, and I finally ended up at Francis Doyle's Cafe. I was a waitress.
Huh, which cafe?
Francis Doyle.
Francis Lowell?
Doyle. D-O-I-L.
Kind of like a little dinner house.
Yeah.
Lower First
Avenue.
Oh, that's interesting, because I hadn't heard that name before.
So I.
Well, if you'd heard of it, you'd know she's a character.
Oh, she was. Nice
Francis Doyle, you say. Well, keep an ear out. You never know when you're going to pick up something more.
A genuine sourdough, if ever was one.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks.
Some mention was made of Tilly Brockman running and maybe owning a place called the Copper Kettle. Is this something?
No, that was on First Avenue up there. Tivoli Cafe was in there, I think, too.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. Yeah, people are so nice in those days, you know?
So trying
to help you, you know? Everybody's so friendly.
We got laid off at the basin and didn't have no work, so me and another guy ran a wood saw all over. We'd probably made as much money if we'd just sat on a buck and draw it on employment. Well, that spring, he was working on this house, and I was going to build here. So we went down to the employment office, and we told him, there's no more wood to cut, and we ain't got a job, but we'd like to work on our house, but we'd like to go on employment. Well, he says, there's no problem. He says, you guys stayed on that job all winter. He says, you probably would have made as much money. So he says, we'll put you on self-employment.
What?
Now, can you imagine that happening today?
No way. That's interesting. Yeah.
You could talk to anybody, and somehow or another, something would work out. Nowadays, you start to shut the door on you.
Mm-hmm. Who were you selling wood to?
What am I selling? It was running a wood saw. Cy Thomas had a. I was showing a tractor with a saw on the back of it.
Oh, you were sawing wood for other people?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They'd get the wood delivered.
Right.
And then we'd go out and saw for them.
Yeah, Carl Lindstrand used to do that, too, out in our neighborhood.
Yeah, we got $1 a quart each, and the saw got $1.
Huh.
The guy owned it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you worked real hard, you could get $8 a day.
A lot of money in those days.
Yeah, what was it is now, really.
I know we pulled in one time. O'Leary's had a big wood yard, boy, on Grail. I mean, them rows of wood was a quarter of a mile long, and we'd saw and saw, and we'd think, man, we got a pile of wood here. You look back at him, he didn't think he touched that sucker.
Yeah. Yeah, O'Leary had property on out here, and somebody said that he just homesteaded it in order to get the lumber off of it.
No.
Let's see, he was here, Bernard O'Leary. It would have been about 9-10 miles.
Just before he come to Ackman's place.
Yeah, yeah. Here,
they went back to the wood trail. There's a house. O'Leary's got a place up there, pretty close to the road, I think, or they did have. I didn't think it was that kind of wood up in there. They must have had a heck of a lot of wood in there. But they might have been getting off other people's.
I